Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Excited for our guest, who's not really a guest, he's family, and he is going to share a closing out message as he and his family is transitioning back to Florida. And so we are excited for Pastor Charlie and what God has for him and for us as Gallery Church, as well as for the city of Baltimore. And so I will be reading for your hearing Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so thank you for the word, and please, Pastor Charlie.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Well, good, good, good. Well, I heard word on the street is I'm your favorite substitute teacher. So that is very encouraging to hear as a substitute teacher, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm super honored to be able to come in and share. And as Andre just shared, we have about 36, 35 days while we're still residents of Baltimore City, okay? So we're still residents, but we're still gonna be connected relationally. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'm really excited to be able to share a bit of a word. Pastor Ellis gave me a huge opportunity, so shout out to Pastor Ellis, to be able to just give some parting words as somebody transitioning away from a post or an assignment or from a mission into another assignment. And a lot of times we go through life and there is great expectation on the front end of something new. So let me give you an example. When we are, you hear about a relationship and there's a pregnancy or something like that in the air, there's great fanfare around this new thing that's getting started, right? So there's gender reveals and then there's people flying helicopters and pouring out all kinds of pink and blue clouds and all this kind of stuff and all these things. There's all this excitement. There's a baby shower and we got to come together and we got to celebrate and there's all this anticipation of the new thing. And then you turn 18, you turn 19, you turn 27, and it's finally one day it's time for you to leave. But there's not a whole lot of fanfare. They're just kind of like, well, when are you finally getting out of here? What's the holdup? What's going on? How much longer do you have? Because we're trying to move on. Maybe we have all these moments in our life where we would love to have a sense of closure. And very few times in our life, we actually get that. You think about it, in your life, you remember most of the milestones that had some kind of clear and set closure. Maybe that was a graduation, and we loved it because we got excited, we hit all our milestones, and then there was a graduation. But if you missed that graduation, you just don't have that same sense of like accomplishment. But you still have to move on. You have to transition. We see that in relationships. There's all these warm, fuzzy feelings and butterflies in the stomach when that woman or man walks into the room. And there's all this anticipation, and then there's this grand reveal of going Facebook public or revealing them in your stories and saying, yes, we're public now, we're in this relationship. And then from there, if the things deteriorate and change, it's kind of like a silent closure. Well, what happened to, we don't talk about that. Well, what's going on with you and me and, no, I'm happy just being me. And you're just like, well, what? There was all this fanfare. There was all this excitement. But what happens when things have to change, when things close? So we're walking in on a story of a people who are in that same type of environment. And what we've got to learn is we're in a to-be-continued moment. It's not an end, because we're very often we get hung up on, well, I want this. It shouldn't be like this. This was not my expectation. And as humans, we have this great ability with our mind and our imagination to see possibilities, to see futures, to see options. We're not animals in that we just live in our environment and we make a way, but no, we actually see possibilities. We see what could be, and we latch our hearts onto what should be based on our mind, based on our thoughts, based on our expectations. And when it's time to change, we often have a hard time. But what I love about us is, man, God gives us the opportunity to say, no, this is not just a period. It's a to be continued. We don't know what the story is going to look like. You had a story, a vision in your mind of what this should be. But God has something much different in mind. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. We're just going to look at the first few verses, and here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. Let's pray. Jesus, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time and space to be with us. But Lord, I pray that you would just illuminate this word in our hearts as we sit here together. I don't know who's under the sound of my voice, but there are people that are in transition, coming out of transition, about to unknowingly enter transition. And Lord, when we get into that messy middle, we start to question and wonder, what is happening here? So Lord, I pray that in this time, you would help us to see that these things are to be continued, that you have a work, you have a vision, you have a plan for us. We just might not understand what it looks like at the moment. So Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for wisdom and discernment. I pray that we would trust you in spite of what we feel around us. Pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. Now watch this. One hard truth that we've all got to come to grips with is this, and it's my first point. Things must change. The only thing that's constant is change. Now we'll say that and we'll nod our head to it and we'll agree with it, and logically it makes sense. But when you're in it, we hate it, we resist it, we fight it, and we argue with God about it. Well, God, listen, I see things are changing. There's something new on the horizon. This is not what I expected, and especially when it's changes, not positive changes, it's changes that we don't want to have happen. And what we see in the text is one of those moments. The first word is, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. Now, I don't know if we kind of quite can contain, can really experience the fullness of these words that are being spoken over these people. You remember when Moses came onto the scene? Moses was this dude, he was out there 40 years. Nobody even know Moses was out there in the desert somewhere. Then all of a sudden, this dude shows up, an 80-year-old dude shows up and is like, hey, listen, let my people go. Okay, we've heard that message before. Nothing new. This is a usual thing we hear. We all want to be set free. Pharaoh's been breaking us down. We've been building and building, and we've been in slavery for 400 years. And then this 80-year-old man comes out of nowhere and says, well, let my people go. But he's a little different because he challenges Pharaoh in a way that no one has ever challenged him before. He does miracles and signs, and he does all these incredible things. And then the Egyptians are kind of fearful at what is happening. We get the 10 plagues that plague the people. The Nile turns into blood and all this. This is probably the most incredible entrance into a story ever. Yes, Moses is here. And not only did Moses say, let my people go, and Pharaoh relented eventually, when it looked like all hope was lost and they were standing at the Red Sea, what happened? They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. So I don't know if you were there, if I was there. We've seen Prince of Egypt. We've seen the little movies and stuff. I'm like, if I were you, hey, wherever this guy says to go, I'm going with him. I don't care. Hell, high water. We saw all of it in Egypt. Stones from fire coming down, frogs. You know, the angel of death was roaming around and all this kind of stuff. Wherever Moses goes, I'm going with him. So can you imagine now? We've been for 40 years. He's been telling us one thing. We're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. God has promised us this land. Listen, there was manna in the wilderness, but we're going to a certain destination. Listen, you got tired of manna, so I talked to God up on the mountain. And you know what? He sent us meat to eat. You know what? We've been out here doing all kinds of stuff. All these things are going on. And now all of a sudden, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, things have to change. Things have to change. So what are the people feeling that had put all their hope and expectation on this man? They must be feeling this sense of dread, fear. What do you do when all the things that you want to have happen don't turn out the way you thought they would? Your expectations. Joshua must have had certain expectations. I'm rolling with Moses. This is my man. I don't care what happens. The people have expectations. They've grown up with him. Remember, the older folks had passed away because they didn't believe. These are the new generation that have been raised under Moses for years. And even Moses must have had certain expectations about entering into the promised land. And here we are at the death of Moses. There will be celebration when Moses would show up. Moses brings a sense of comfort. Moses has been their father, grandfather for many of these people. But there would also just be this sense of, we know that we're connected to God because Moses has been our connector. He's been our bridge. He would go into the tent where the Holy of Holies is and come back out and tell us what God said to do. And when we find ourselves at a crossroads like this, here's something I want you to remember. Your dreams can become nightmares when you hold on to them too tightly. The thing you thought should happen the way you thought it should happen, you've held on to it so tightly, you may be missing out on what God actually wants to do. He sees beyond the corner you see. He sees over the mountains that you don't see. He sees beyond the circumstance that you're currently in. And he sees the nooks and crannies of things he wants to shape within you. But you're holding on to what you thought it should be. And he's like, man, I got so much more for you. But if you're going to be stuck right here, your expectations about your life or your future can blind you to what God wants to do in you. And when your expectations become God, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. because you'll always, always, always be chasing the horizon. You'll be chasing the horizon. But when we become the type of people, and I pray that as we grow with Christ, as we walk with him, because he's going to walk us into some uncertain territories. When we face reality and hold our expectations lightly. So when you're sober-minded and you hold these expectations lightly, you keep an open hand, God can do something amazing in us because we're willing to be flexible. Lord, I trust you over what I thought this should be. I trust you over, man, I wanted it to go this way. Obviously, it's going left. All right, I'm going to trust you because you've been there before and I ain't been there yet. So what's the reality for us now? So as me and my family prepare to transition back to Florida, back to a place I said I would never go back to, things are not what we expected. Right? This is not my plan. This is not my, man, the 10-year plan, we're leaving Florida in 2015, we're going to go plant a church somewhere out there, okay, and we're going to do some great things for God and all this kind of stuff, and it's just like, okay, we're here now, well, why it look like we headed back? I remember those trees, and I remember that house, and it looks like we're going back to a place that I didn't want to go to. Where are you at right now? Things are not what you expected. Maybe your summer plans didn't even go off how you thought they would. Man, are we planning on this vacation? Saddest thing. One of my good friends this year, he had a whole Jamaican vacation planned. And you know what came the week of the vacation? A hurricane. So his whole summer has just been disrupted from this thing. He's like, I can't get a refund, can't do nothing, maybe around Christmas time, I'll get 3 days off. Or maybe just things aren't the same. Things have changed, but they're not the same anymore. Or maybe the future is uncertain. But the future being uncertain is always true. We just think we know what the future is. Oh no, I got a new job, and then this, and after 3 months, 6 months, and then 9 months, and da 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 da. Remember from the book of James, he is very explicit. Do not say, tomorrow we're gonna do this, then we're gonna do this. My 5-year plan, your 5-year plan should always be written in pencil, lightly colored pencil, because something is always coming. But here's what I need you to remember. Here's this. Our circumstances have changed. But God has not. God is not.
Can you say that again? I don't think we heard you in the back.
Our circumstances have changed, but God has not. Now listen, I need you, when you're in the messy middle, when you're in transition, when you're going through it, when you're like, man, I feel this thing leaving my hand that I really wanted to keep, and then I feel this thing coming into my life that I don't want, that's when you need to say, my circumstances are changing, but God has not. So that leads us to our second point. God is still speaking. But Moses was our guy. Moses was the connector. Moses was he grew up on the mountain. You remember how anytime he would go where God's presence was, the people would get all scared? Moses went on top of the mountain. He must be dead. He's out of there. We got to do something else. Or he would go and be and experience the presence of God, and his face would be all glowy and stuff. And they'd be like, hey, Moses, listen, we understand you've been talking to God and stuff, but we need you to cover up because it's a little creepy to see you come out and your face is like shining like a light. Okay? But they had gotten comfortable with having somebody else listen to God on their behalf. And for many of us, it is the same way. It might be a parent, it might be a grandparent, it might be a certain pastor or a preacher, it might be a certain ministry, it might be a certain group of people, friends and people that you've trusted. But here's what I need you to know. Circumstances change, but God is still speaking. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, watch this. There's a comma right there. Pause, Because you think, oh, so sorry. Y'all just going to keep wandering around till y'all die. No. The Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. It's possible. It was probably easy to think because God spoke to Moses, we'll never hear from him again. I can imagine that's going through people's minds. They had the funeral. They didn't even get a funeral. Moses had to go walk by himself somewhere and then just disappeared. But then so are we ever going to hear from God again? Where do we get our GPS from? We've just been trapped out here for a while. What are we going to do? Here's what he says. They thought wrong because God is still speaking. And Lauren just led us through an incredible moment a second ago where it's like, man, I know things are a whirlwind all around you, but quiet yourself down enough. Moses had taught them. Moses had shared a story with them where he had an encounter with God. I don't know if you remember this, where he goes up onto the mountain and there's all this lightning and fire and thunder and there's all these things, but none of those things were God. And we're looking for this massive sign in the sky that tells us, God, are you telling me to go this way or that way? And then what happened? It was a still, small voice. So in your grief or in your transition or in your circumstances, listen to this. Don't allow your grief to stop your growth. Do not hang your hat so much on that person or that circumstance or situation that you've just locked. Man, I don't have any connection to the voice of God. I like the way we used to say it at Epiphany. We used to say it like this. One monkey don't stop no show. Okay? So if this ain't how it is, that's fine. Okay, the circumstances ain't working out. We still have a mission and a plan that we're going on. So just because Moses ain't here don't mean God just disappeared. Why? Because God's love was for the people. He just was working with Moses. So God is still speaking. So one setback, one disruption, one complete and total upheaval does not stop God from speaking. Many of us would say that we are in a holding pattern. You like this sense of safety and consistency, and God is faithful. His ark is completely faithful. But in the midst of it, it's going to get choppy in there. And many of us would stay in a holding pattern waiting for the turbulence to blow over. No. We're going to wait for this to blow over. Then we'll go forward. We're going to wait till the dust to settle. Then we'll go forward. And I understand that. That's nice. That's natural. That's an instinct that we have. But God may be ready to keep rolling. I didn't prepare the promised land for Moses. I prepared it for you all. Moses was just the director. He was just the captain. But the boat's still going in the same direction. So watch this. God has a plan. God has a mission. And God is unwavering about accomplishing his purposes. Your life has a purpose. Your life has a calling. You have a mission to accomplish. He set you here. You were born. You were given gifts. You were given circumstances and people that surround you. You were given a family of origin, no matter how bad, how good. You were all given special ingredients so that no matter the circumstance, you would still be able to accomplish the outcomes he has in order for you. So you were saved and there were works prepared for you. The issue is I like my workspace like this. We got any of those kind of people? That's why I don't go in the kitchen with my wife, okay? Yeah. You might get cut, okay? Why? Because she likes her, she's got it designed how she wanted it designed. Okay, I'm doing it like this. I do it like this, and I'm over her shoulder like, "Well, why are you cutting the onions?" Like, can you just move? And I'm just like, you know what? Okay, you're right. And for us, we get into this situation where we're like, man, well, I don't like what's happening here. This is disrupting everything. And it's like, no, let me accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish with you, okay? I like the way the ESV puts it. Moses said to his servant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Stop staying down. Looking backwards, saying, man, I wish, if we would have, should have, could have, would have, all that. Yes, it would have been nice. But get up. I've got something else we need to do. That leads us to our third point. Third and final point. The mission is to be continued. The mission is to be continued. So when we entered into Baltimore, I mean, literally, I came as an experiment. I told my wife, like, okay, and if you want to get married one day or you are married, here's what not to do when you're trying to talk to your wife about something you really want to do, okay? Okay, Aaron, listen. Okay, I believe Jesus actually does crazy stuff. I think he does some, like, wild and audacious stuff, but we're in an environment that's too cushy, too comfortable, and it's just too regular. I need to see some disruption, okay? So here's what I want to do. Here's the top 10 worst cities in America, okay? Pick one. We got a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a five-year-old. Babe, worst city in America? Let's go. Where can we go? FBI's top 10 worst cities. Here you are. Gary, Indiana. You know, Chicago, you know, whatever, whatever. And then we drove to Baltimore from Camden, New Jersey. We were already living in one of the worst cities in America, okay? In a row home, mice running around. They would have breakfast with us in the morning. All kind of stuff. Kids getting poison ivy on them in our 3-foot by 5-foot backyard. We don't even have a backyard, but somehow they got poison ivy covering them. So we've got all this stuff. And I'm like, babe, we can do this. We can do this. And that's how we ended up in Baltimore. It was an experiment. People were like, man, what called you to Baltimore? What was the story? My wife said we could come here. That was it, okay? But I believe that God could actually transform lives. I believe that when he talks in the scriptures, that he actually can do what he did back then. And so I said, okay, let's do that then. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to have to go to some way out country, somewhere way over there. That's fine. We can do that too. I've done that. But what if we could do it here? And what did we get to be a part of? Lives transformed, generations being changed, whole family lines transforming and changing. Yes, we married some folks. We buried some folks. We cried a lot. We ate a lot. We laughed a lot. But listen, just because Charlie ain't here, Epiphany ain't there, the gallery ain't there, Ellis ain't there, that don't mean the mission stopped. What does it mean? All I did was jumped in the slipstream of what God was already doing. So people are like, man, you must be so bold and courageous. No, we are a part of the great co-mission. So we're in our house right now moving all this furniture. Moving and doing all this stuff. But now I've got boys, teenager and a preteen, okay? And we're moving furniture. And moving furniture with your kids that you hope have more muscles than they actually have is quite a task, especially upstairs. But what I love is, and this is a part of parenting that you get to experience, and it tells you something about God the Father. Watch this. We're pulling bookshelves, we're pulling big boxes, we're pulling all this awkward stuff that mom has sold on Facebook Marketplace to some stranger that might not show up for like $12, and we're breaking our back to do it. Very specific, isn't it? It's just like something we experienced this week, something like that. So we're breaking ourselves to get this stuff up, stairs and down and all this stuff. Watch this. I'm doing all the work here. Oh. But they get to participate in it with me. Are they putting in effort? Yeah. Is there risk involved? Yes. Did they get their ankle caught in between the stair and the thing? Yes. But who's carrying most of the weight? The Father. And so for us, we get caught on the person who's, oh man, well, he told me about, no, I'm just joining in the slipstream of what God was already doing here in Baltimore. That God already had that allotted for me to do. I just did it. So the mission must be continued. Deuteronomy 34:8 said the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So they took some time. They took some time. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. There wasn't as much fanfare. There wasn't a Red Sea. There wasn't fire that came down from heaven. It was kind of 30 days. Moses, you got 30 days, brother, for 40 years, okay? So for many of us that are like, man, well, I wanted a really big celebration. Moses got 30 days, okay? Parting the Red Sea and dealing with crotchety people for 40 years, okay? He got 30 days. While we feel all the emotions of sudden change, at some point, we need to dust ourselves off, get back up, and get back to the mission. And God told Joshua something very specific. Now, prepare yourself, because I still want us to accomplish this mission. So gallery, listen, things are going to change. Your expectation may not be what comes to fruition, but that's okay. Because you know what? My expectation might be smaller than what Jesus has in store. I don't know what the big plan is. I just get my little glimpse. And I take so much solace from what Paul says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says something very interesting. And we need to remember this because, you know, our ego can get the best of us, okay? I'm going to just be honest with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to close with this. Here's what he says. So what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Who are these people? Who's your favorite pastor, minister? Who's your most influential person that you follow? It don't matter. They are servants through whom you believed. And each one has the role the Lord has given. Then he says this, watch. This is Paul now. Paul is saying this about himself. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now listen, I've staked my life on being a church planter. Now I coach church planters. And you know what I got to do when I meet with church planters who go, I'm here to save the city and I'm going to transform this whole place, because obviously nobody ever preached the gospel before me. I'm not saying this is how it really goes, but it's a little bit like this. And then I have to go, you know what? Paul said, I planted. Didn't even really matter. I did my job and then I moved on. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, watch this, in a crowd of church planters with big egos, are anything. They're not anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters is one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field that God is building. So church, listen, God is trying to build you. That's his ultimate aim. He wants you to be more like Christ with every day that progresses. And sometimes that means he's got to do some things that disrupt our equilibrium, that make us uncomfortable. He's got to change some things around so that you conform to his image. But unless he disrupts things, you won't ever get the full growth that is needed to going back to James. Remember this, to become fully mature. Perfect, not lacking anything. So his goal is that you become fully mature. Now, in closing, I'd just like to say this. Would you pray for our family? Pray for our family. So we got a little slide up here. Pray for our family as we re-enter Southwest Florida. So back to our hometown of Fort Myers. If you'd like, man, my goal is to, and I've got a job now, so it's not even like a goal. I've got a couple of jobs. One is to help raise up more urban church planters and pastors and kingdom leaders. And so one of the biggest questions I've gotten over the last 10 years of being in Baltimore is this. Is there another one like you? Is there another one like you? And I'm like, man, there are hundreds. They just haven't been trained yet. They haven't been given opportunity. Nobody's translated it for them. And so that's my job. And I work with pastors and leaders and kingdom leaders to be able to grow leadership and grow their capacity. Second thing is this. I do soul care for pastors. And so as we re-enter, now we're going to be helping pastors heal as we've gone through our journey of healing and being beat down and all the things that I just preached. Pastors feel that at a molecular level. And so if you would like to pray for us, follow up with us, even financially support us in this new endeavor, man, I pray just hit that QR code and you can follow up with us on this journey. And last but not least, we're in a new era. So this won't be the last time you ever see me, okay? This isn't like Paul, he wrote a letter and then no more letter showed up. You know why? His head got cut off. This is very anticlimactic. You're just like, wow, Paul, the greatest church planter ever, just stopped sending letters. That was it. But for us, we can stay in communication and relationship. Amen? Well, let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for being so kind to us, kind enough to show us, and kind enough to be able to give us your words and give us peoples that have gone through things similar to us. We were not there with Moses. We don't know all the things. But we do know what it's like to lose. We do know what it's like when things change. All of a sudden, we're just not in a place we expected to be. God, I pray that in those moments, we would call out to you. That you would increase our faith to remember that you are good. That you, as you said to the Israelites in that passage, I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm still speaking to you. Even though Moses was your comfort blanket, even though Moses was your connector to God, even though Moses was the one who led you through all these years, it's okay because I am with you and I won't leave you. So Lord, remind us of that when we're down in the messy middle and we feel like we're at a period in the road. Lord, help us to see that this might just be a comma and this is to be continued. So transform us from the inside out, I pray, and help us to become mature, fully reliant disciples of you, walking with you wherever you may lead us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.